For SearchSecurity.com, I'm Bill Brenner. You're listening to our Newsmaker podcast. This month, I'm joined by Howard Schmidt, whose career in defense, law enforcement, and corporate security spans nearly 40 years and includes a stint as vice president, CISO, and chief security strategist for online auction giant eBay. He most recently served as chief security strategist for the U.S. CERT Partners Program for the National Cyber Division of the Department of Homeland Security. And he's served President George W. Bush as vice chair of the President's Critical Infrastructure Protection Board and as special advisor for cybersecurity at the White House. He sits on a number of corporate boards and is an adjunct professor with Georgia Tech's Information Security Center. Schmidt recently released a new book, Patrolling Cyberspace, Lessons Learned from a Lifetime in Data Security. In this podcast, he talks about some of those lessons and about why he believes the private sector has a bigger role to play than the government in defending cyberspace. But first, this message.
Do you know what to look for when shopping for password management and provisioning tools? If not, then there's no better time to learn than right now. Check out SearchSecurity.com's newest Identity and Access Management Security School lesson, using IAM tools to improve compliance. In this lesson, expert Tom Bowers reveals how to save money, plug the holes in your IAM strategy, and most importantly, improve your compliance efforts. You'll learn how technology can help map IAM technologies and business processes, best practices for privilege management, and how to find the right product for the right price when it's time to make a purchase. Go back to school today. Visit searchsecurity.com/IAMschool. That's searchsecurity.com/IAMschool.
Howard, welcome to the program.
Thanks very much. It's great to be here.
Let's start with your latest book. The focus is on lessons that you've learned in your career. What would you list as the top three lessons and why?
Well, I think the first one is that as we advance in technologies, criminals will continue to exploit the great benefits we get from the technology and turn it into something that they can benefit from. The second thing, that the responsibility does not lie solely on the government or law enforcement to protect people from these sort of criminals and the ones that are out there trolling the internet for everything from child pornography to identity theft, but we basically have a responsibility also in doing so. The third thing that I've learned is that as we build products and new services and new technologies and new hardware, that basically they must be built with taking into consideration some of the things that bad guys will do with this. I think you couple those three and we go a long way to reducing next book 20 years from now that looks back and says, gee, you know, we've come a long way and solved a lot of these problems.
Now, you served for a time as a White House cybersecurity advisor, and as you were aware, some in the last couple of years have been critical of the U.S. government for not doing enough to safeguard the nation's IT infrastructure. Knowing what you know, is that fair criticism?
I don't think it's fair criticism at all. As a matter of fact, I think it's quite the contrary. The period of time from 1997, when we first had the President's Commission on Critical Infrastructure Protection, all the way up to the release of the National Strategy to Secure Cyberspace, as a matter of fact, Valentine's Day, February 14th of 2003, the focus has been industry owns and operates the vast majority of the critical infrastructure or the IT environments that we work in on a day-to-day basis, that they have to recognize there are interdependencies that they have to each other across various sectors, and thirdly, that we as a nation depend on them. And the interesting piece about this, it doesn't go into the government telling people how to run their systems or how to secure their systems. Mm-hmm. Industry knows how to do this and make the necessary steps to move forward and do so. And in that vein, I'm extremely pleased what industry has done. I mean, industry has put not only a lot of effort into development of products and services, but also they've also dedicated the specific personnel to work with the government to make sure the government is aware of the progress that's being made so the government doesn't have to worry on our behalf as citizens that these things are being ignored. The awareness now and the execution in private industry is higher now than I think it's ever been before in our history.
Now, what about the government's efforts to safeguard its own computer systems? You know, we've seen examples in the past year, issues revolving around the theft of laptops, for example. But also, there have been some out there who have said that the government isn't doing enough to secure its own systems separately of what's being done in private industry. What are your thoughts there?
Well, there's a tremendous challenge. One, with the resources that are allocated, in other words, taxpayers' money, to go to these agencies, and you compare that what's being spent in private industry, there's a fairly good disparity. There's also disparity on the resources and what people can pay people. I was testifying before Congress one time and was asked the question is, how do they keep people like myself, when I left the government in 1997 the first time, how do we keep from losing talented people? And the answer is you just really can't compete with the private industry as far as the benefits and the salaries and things of that nature. But what really incentivizes a lot of people is a good, solid working environment that makes, particularly in security, that makes security personnel feel that they are contributing and making a difference. And until such time as the government systems and the government agencies recognize to invest more in their people, invest more in their technologies, and that they should and are susceptible to the same sort of attacks that the private sectors have, we will continue to see slow progress. Now, there has been a number of efforts in doing reports to Congress to engage agencies within the government to do a better job. But once again, just creating reports for the sake of reports don't get the job done. Matter of fact, one of the things I oftentimes hear complaints from government specialists is the fact that they're spending so much time trying to answer a report, they can't actually get around to getting the job done.
Now, looking at the higher level activity that's been going on, the Department of Homeland Security has done a lot of restructuring of its cybersecurity division in the last year and a half. Talk about some of the changes and particularly areas where you think DHS is moving in the right direction and where you think there may be some more room for improvement.
Yeah, well, first I have to commend everybody that's taken on that task, because I know as I was leaving the White House and at the time National Security Advisor Condoleezza Rice asked me if I'd be willing to go over with Tom Ridge and over to Homeland Security, and Tom also made the offer to me. As I was talking with people about going over to Homeland Security, they were really hesitant and said, listen, that place is really going to be a difficult place to work in for the next X amount of years, just like the Department of Defense was when it was consolidated, and therefore it's probably not going to be a fun place to work. And my response has been traditionally, well, if you were to go with your level of expertise and your knowledge to go over there, it would make it that much easier. So consequently, the people that are there now have got a tremendous challenge to do. They're working very hard at it. But as we go through rounds, I think it's round three of reorganization taking place as the secretary refines everything that's going out there, it will better adjust to what the needs of the country are. Now, bear in mind, that was set up as almost a reaction into the events of September 11th. Mm-hmm. So the circumstances that we viewed and the way we viewed the nation and Homeland Security at that time has changed over the past 6 years or so. So consequently, changes are not unexpected. We're always looking to fine-tune things. Now, specifically what's been done, I think one of the most important things is it was approved to appoint an assistant secretary for cybersecurity and telecommunications. And that was key in two points. One, it raises the level of authority and raises the level of visibility of that position within a department, which sends a clear message to private sector that this is an important issue from the government's perspective. The second thing it does, and this is something that people don't talk about very much, is it starts to bring that convergence of telecommunications and cybersecurity, or in this case, IT technologies together. It brings them closer together than they ever have been before. Because there has indeed in the past been a focus on telecommunications, but now we're seeing as those things converge, we need to have a centralized focus on it. And that's been a big boon to our society and way of life.
Howard, you've been speaking out lately about the security challenges of VoIP. Do you think companies are adopting the technology a lot faster than their ability to properly secure it?
Well, I think that's one of those situations where one size does not fit all. So I think it'd be a challenge for me or anyone to say that unilaterally companies are or are not doing something. I think what we're seeing is some companies, basically, they're very, very sensitive to their environments, are looking to enhance security as they deploy new technologies such as voice over IP. Other people are saying, listen, it's a great technology, move forward, and then they're trying now to come back and identify where they need to shore up the resources. The good news is there are now companies focusing specifically on voice over IP security that are now coming up with new technologies, new policies and processes to help enforce that. But this falls in that same larger category that I mentioned a little bit ago about as new technologies are rolled out, we need to look not only at the great benefits we get from them, the cost savings we get from them, the ease of use that we get from them, but also the risks that are out there. And those that recognize that are having a much easier job with it.
Now, I've also noticed that in addition to VoIP, and I'm going back now to the Black Hat Conference in Las Vegas last summer, where one of the concerns that kept coming up were surrounding the use of Ajax-based applications. And again, the concern being that it was being used a lot faster than the ability to secure it. Have you been focused much on Ajax? Have you taken a look at that, and what are your thoughts?
Just on the periphery, and then once again, I don't think we can disassociate that or any other new technology from the fact that clearly we must look at these things from the holistic approach. Look at all the benefits, look at all the costs and savings we can get, look at the ease of use, but also ensure that we indeed are looking what security risks come out according with it. And whether it's Ajax, whether it's VoIP, or whether it's other new technologies and handheld devices, mobile devices, encryption, you know, we really have to take all these things into consideration.
In the big picture, do you think the good guys are winning the cybersecurity battle?
Well, I think we're not losing ground like we were at one point, which is, I think, the important thing that we need to worry about. We are seeing across the spectrum more enforcement. Consequently, more bad guys are actually being discovered, arrested, prosecuted, and successfully, in some cases, jailed as appropriate. We're seeing a wider net being cast by industry, training their people better how to work with law enforcement and enforce these things. We're seeing industry itself building better products. I mean, you look at some of the programs that Oracle and Microsoft and Sun and IBM and HP have put forth, focusing specifically in the area of making things better. Consequently, we're seeing the shift and the tide being changed. I think right now where we're finding the weakest link is the guys that are moving into the, as I call it, the low-level crime using high technology. And we're seeing that more and more. We're basically going after individuals, whether it's the phishing emails, whether it's the, we're starting to see a surge of things now, sort of the Lonely Hearts Club, if you would, where people are looking to take advantage of each other. The old Nigerian scams used to start with a letter and then faxes, then moved into email. They're now being generated via instant messaging and other sources like that. So we're seeing, we're not losing ground on the enterprise level, but the small, medium enterprise and consumer space, we still need some things put in place to better protect people.
Okay, Howard, let's end on a lighter note with a feature that we call our Newsmaker Rapid Fire Q&A. These are five questions, and not all of them are related to security, and you'll want to keep your answers as brief as possible. Here we go. When you're not working, what's your favorite guilty pleasure?
Fishing.
What's the most embarrassing automobile you've ever owned?
Purple Chevrolet Lumina.
What's your favorite TV show?
Grey's Anatomy.
What book would you recommend that all InfoSec pros read?
Ooh, that's a tough one.
Besides your own.
Developing Secure Code.
What's your advice for people entering the InfoSecurity business?
Look at this from a systematic approach instead of an engineering perspective.
Again, Howard Schmidt, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure. Good talking with you.
And that concludes the latest installment of our Newsmaker series, where we interview some of the top players in information security. The latest information security news is always available as it breaks on our news page at searchsecurity.com/news. And you can always catch our Security Wire weekly podcasts featuring summaries of the latest news and interviews with security professionals at searchsecurity.com/podcast. I'm Bill Brenner. Thanks for listening.